1045 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Terror in Europe leading to multiple arrests.
U.S. officials remain on high alert after police overseas arrested seven suspected Hamas supporters for allegedly planning attacks in Europe. In Denmark, three suspected supporters of Hamas taken into custody as part of a joint investigation with Israeli intelligence, accused of plotting revenge attacks because of the war in Israel and Gaza.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. U.S. officials say it's the most concerning terrorist environment they've seen since 9/11. Prince Harry winning his phone hacking lawsuit against a British tabloid publisher. A court today ruling the company behind the Daily Mirror targeted Harry's own phone. The damage award, nearly $200,000. And developments expected today in the Georgia election interference case. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is going to court trying to appeal the charges against him, while former Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani could learn how much he'll have to pay to election workers for falsely claiming they committed fraud. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's most powerful Republican says a deal approved by state university leaders Wednesday night is just the first step. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants to eliminate what he calls cancerous diversity practices on campus. Milwaukee State Representative Dora Drake tweets, the fight for underrepresented groups continues. The deal trades downsized diversity efforts for $800 million in state funding. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's third visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 58-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The organizers of the annual Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon are getting concerned with the lack of snow in the region. According to a Northern News Now report, event officials say by this time of the year, at least portions of the 300 miles of trail from Duluth to Portage are covered with snow, making preparations and training for the event difficult. The event doesn't take place until January 28th, so there's still time for the weather to shift, but organizers say they may have to alter starting points or postpone the event without more snow. The Wisconsin State Patrol has announced it will kick off its Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign for the holiday season this Friday. Officers will be increasing enforcement to find and stop impaired drivers during the busy holiday traveling season from December 15th to January 1st. Residents should plan a safe ride ahead of the holiday season if they plan on consuming alcohol or drugs or call a taxi or rideshare service, and should contact law enforcement if they suspect another driver on the road is impaired. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Got,
come on!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers' A.J. Dillon is injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' popular running back, A.J. Dillon, is dealing with a broken thumb. It happened on one of the final plays against the Giants on Monday. That means that Patrick Taylor will get more snaps at running back, but he's made some mistakes getting out of bounds to save time on the clock.
As a running back, your coach preaches, like, you know, fighting for extra yards and things like that. It's extremely hard not to stay in bounds and start to try to fight for extra yards, but in situations such as that one, with it being about like 24 seconds left, got to get out of bounds right there.
The Badgers basketball team won at home against Jacksonville State 75-60. Greg Gard on Jacksonville's head coach, Ray Harper.
You know, Jacksonville, I don't think we give enough credit for how they tried to play us, really jamming things up, gapping up, sending the double team, you know, and Coach Harper's been doing it for a long time. So you could just watch how, watching film, we were going to have to really work.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy with off and on light rain here through the day today. We'll get to around 39 for a high with winds southwest switching to the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light rain mixing with some snow after midnight. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. I do not expect much snow accumulation. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like stop right on.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's going to be a warm Friday. How are you, Earl?
All right, man. It's Friday, right?
That is right.
I remember as a young man, he used to say the eagle flies on a Friday.
Is it that he flies? I always heard the expression there was something else the eagle did on Friday.
Well, I remember. And
what that meant was that was payday, right? The
yes.
Eagle. Yeah, the
yeah.
Eagle. Yeah.
So I used to, as a young man, like Calvin's age, I remember, working in the plant. And I kept looking at my watch. And a guy, who was I considered to be an old guy at that time, about 40 years old he was. I've since learned that that wasn't an old guy.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're 25, 40, it's all relative, right? So I'm looking at my watch, and I get off at 3 o'clock, and it's Friday, and it's sunny, it's in the summer, and it's payday. And he says, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "Man, I can't wait till 3 o'clock. It's time to get off. And man, it's nice outside, and I'm going to have a good time." And he said, "Son, don't you ever rush time."
There you go.
I never forgot it. Right?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
And so, hey, Calvin, son, don't you ever rush time.
I'll do my best.
It will catch up to you. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah,
safe?
That's very zen.
Yeah. But anyway, a lot of things to talk about this morning. Sandy, let's begin by they've been able to get a defense budget worked out. The two sides that can't work on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get the border fixed.
Yeah, when there's a big pork barrel, we tend to get that done. We got an infrastructure bill done because the road workers and the contractors and all those people interested in all the immense number of jobs created by the infrastructure. So that was bipartisan. And what else is bipartisan? Well, the defense budget, because we've got defense manufacturers in every state, every congressional district. We've got military installations all across the country. We've always had no trouble with the military budget. It doesn't even usually get debated, okay? In fact, what's happened most typically is the president asks for a number and Congress throws another $30, $40 billion on top of it just for good measure.
Which is what they did this past year with Biden's.
Right.
Yeah, more than what they asked for.
Right. You don't need that. You need much more than that.
Well, so the House passed the annual defense authorization bill on yesterday, the House of all people,
right,
ascending $886 billion dollars to Joe Biden's desk. Do you think he's going to hesitate to sign it?
No. No, I mean, that's our problem. You know, we don't really, no one ever rolls up their sleeves. You know, at one point, they started doing an audit of it. Remember that?
Yeah, they couldn't complete it.
They couldn't complete it. They couldn't even find numbers for it. There was no accountability. And there is no accountability in the defense budget. No one knows anything about all of it, right? People know something about some of it. And it's a big, dark, mysterious number that has all kinds of interested parties behind it. Most of those interests are spelled J-O-B-S, jobs, or P-R-O-F-I-T, profit. And it has everything to do with the budget.
You know, Sandy, I remember several years ago reading where it was coming close to the end of the year, and the defense budget had hundreds of millions of dollars still left. And they started buying lobster. It's true. And champagne.
Ah.
Because they wanted to not wind up. They didn't want a surplus.
Oh, well, you know, everybody knows in every business that if your department has a budget and you don't spend it, next year you'll get the smaller number in your budget, right? So you don't really want your budget to shrink, not if you're interested in an easy life. That's par for the course.
Which is why they can't do a
audit.
Because they'll find things like hammers that cost, $1,000. And, you know, toilets that cost $2,000. You know, they've known this forever.
Right. I remember that Bill Proxmire had the Golden Fleece Award, and it was all involved with the defense budget. His Golden Fleece Awards, where he would pick apart the defense budget and find, you know, the golden toilet or whatever it was.
Now, as you stated, you know, the vote was 310 to 118 with 45 Democrats and 73 Republicans opposing the measure. Democrats and Republicans could break bread together, right? That's what they just did.
Yeah, but we don't know whether they opposed it because it was too small or too big. But the fact is that both parties can agree on stuff like this because it's all nest feathering in their local districts. And, you know, what people can beat their chest and say what they're worried about is our influence internationally. But what really tugs at them is the call they get from the manufacturer that's in their congressional district or the workers, okay? And what's interesting is most of the pressure really is about profits, but the people who want profits always spell profits J-O-B-S, jobs. And so they're in talking to Congress, arguing about the jobs they're saving, because jobs are sort of a collateral benefit to profit. I would say a businessman views jobs as collateral benefits to profits. A necessary obligation to undertake in order to achieve profits.
And Sandy, I don't think there are any jobs associated with defense that don't pay well.
I mean, it's manufacturing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the defense industry, what they're buying from the American industrial system is manufacturing. Okay. So yes, and the defense budget is about 8% of our overall budget, and
which people will say and that is nothing.
Well, but the overall budget, manufacturing as part of our GDP is under 15%, I think. So now when you talk that way, you can understand that the defense budget manufacturing is probably a significant percentage of the manufacturing portion of the American economy.
Let's do this, Sandy. Let's go to the phone lines. And John from Boaz, is that how it's pronounced?
Boaz.
Hey, good morning to you, John. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Kind of like Joan Boaz.
Okay, where is that located?
Boaz.
Where is that located?
Well, it's actually in between, halfway from Madison to La Crosse.
Oh, really? So you're in the Driftless. Wisconsin. You're in the Driftless.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I just drove there. I drove there last weekend and a couple of weeks ago. That's the most beautiful part of the state. I envy
you. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Well, I was in Pertusac and Lodi, and this is west of there, but it sounds beautiful.
All right, go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if anybody knows in your audience about our government here in Wisconsin. They have $4 billion in the bank, but they're not telling us. Does anybody know how much interest we're earning? That is $10 million interest a year. And that's at 1%. Does anybody know?
I'm sorry. Are you saying that the Defense Department?
No. He's talking about the budget surplus that the state of Wisconsin has.
Oh, the state of Wisconsin budget surplus. Ah, I see.
Because you know that they got.
Yeah. So let me ask you. So what are you saying? Yes, it's gaining that interest. Are you saying? What? Where does the interest go? Or I mean, what?
Yeah, that's right.
The interest stays.
Where does the interest go?
Well, the interest would definitely stay in the. It stays in the. To the. It's going to the state's benefit. So you know, there's not.
It's not going in people's pockets.
Yeah, I think the travesty is that we've got all that money sitting there, and we're not investing it in the future of Wisconsin. At this point, because we can't seem to reach agreement on what the best ways are to benefit our children and grandchildren with state programs.
Well, you know, Governor Evers has been shelling out resources.
Right.
I've reached out to them to get him on the air to talk about the money that he's, you know, from. And he still has a lot of money from the, what was the plan? COVID plan, that the resources that the federal government gave out, I forgot what it was called, where there were resources that each state got that they could rescue plan.
Yeah, the rescue plan.
So, yeah, he's been doing some things with that, so I'm really looking forward to having him on to talk about that. But anyway, we've got to take a short hiatus, 844-967-2789. You know, it's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, son, don't you ever rush time. we'll return.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability.
I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Run, run, Rudolph!
Sounds like Mick Jagger.
I think it is. Yeah, I dared Calvin to find Rolling Stone Christmas music, and maybe he did.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody who was a performer that didn't make a Christmas album. I think they all did.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Who was the guy? Oh, Burl Ives, of all people, right?
Yeah.
Burl Ives.
Burl Ives.
Yeah, okay. Welcome back.
I knew an old lady who swallowed a fly.
I don't know why she swallowed the fly.
Yeah. Perhaps she'll die.
Yeah. Right. Calvin, you don't know any. No. Yeah. Okay. All right. 844-967-2789. Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And I wanted to talk, Sandy, about... Let's talk a little bit about the decisions. It looks like the Congress is going to be coming back after this, short hiatus. Normally they're done for the holiday and they won't come back till January. But something's brewing.
This is a deal associated with the foreign aid to Ukraine and Israel. And the other flip side of that was a demand that there be border policies adopted that would be much more restrictive. And it looks like the Biden administration has decided to agree with a variety of changes to border policy.
Now, you said it kindly. There are many others who are saying he's caving and that the Democrats are caving and the Republicans even saying they're caving.
Well, one of the problems with bipartisan activity is one of the things that has kept us from having bipartisan activity is that when one side bends, they're accused of caving. Okay, so
negotiations, right?
Yeah. Negotiation normally means you move off your position to something closer to the other side's position, and if that's viewed as caving, we've come to the point where moving at all is viewed by the partisans as caving. It's no negotiation; it's just my position or your position, which leads to deadlock, which is what we've had in Washington for quite a while. So, yes, this looks like it's going to be a move, and it's basically probably going to constitute because the Democrats to date have been very adamant about not implementing a bunch of changes and rather having some bipartisan process, a commission come forward with a comprehensive proposal. And the inability of Washington to get that done has left things where they were. So I also think that the position of the Democrats has been restructured a bit because of the situation that has occurred in a bunch of northern cities now that are associated with an influx of a very unmanageable number of new immigrants, and so the view has spread that we've got to do something about restricting the numbers, okay. And so I think this is going to be a result of all of that. And, we've got to do something about the border. And the unfortunate part about this is that if this is an agreement that's reached but nothing is done beyond this, we really haven't accomplished much because this is going to be something closer to just a very abrupt behavior change.
I guess, Sandy, where the pushback comes is – where people are saying it shouldn't have been tied into the defense spending for increased spending for Ukraine and for Israel. One should have had nothing to do with the other, but that's how this game is played.
Well, the game in Washington is now played, you know, the game of levers, and if someone wants something very badly, the other side says, okay, but now I can see you want it a lot. Now you're going to pay a price. And that's the unfortunate thing, because as far as the conduct of our international affairs are concerned, as far as the implementation by the United States of promises to allies are concerned, if those promises seem to be a political football in which there is going to be log rolling internal and domestic policies in which, in order to achieve that, there's going to be prices to be paid that are totally extraneous to that particular international agreement, then that's a serious problem for America with respect to how we conduct our international affairs. So, you know, the problem here is just that the Republicans have decided to make this a political football, which will cause all of our allies in the future to be mistrustful and distrustful about America's promises.
And let me ask you then, Sandy, because the one thing that does happen for surety is that, let's say Donald Trump wins, you know, he's going to be in a position that there'll be payback. So Democrats certainly aren't going to forget that they were forced into this when they become the minority in an area, and they can do what Congress or have the majority. They're going to get them back in some way, shape, or form. It's kind of like a game, right?
Well, unfortunately, like I said, politics has become a blood sport, and it's not just a blood sport in campaigns, but the way it's conducted on the basis of congressional activity, it's become a blood sport. And so, yeah, it doesn't really work very well. And, you know, I think the thing that worried me as I was driving out here this morning, I was thinking about the policies to be implemented by President Donald Trump in his second term. And whereas in the past I've said that Donald Trump comes without policy, it's strictly it's a whim based on whatever Donald Trump believes will bring him more power. But the fact is that those who are allied with Donald Trump, who want him to become president, do have a bunch of policies to implement, and they're extremely worrisome. And the main one is that they want to change the way government works. They want to eliminate essentially the professional government employee. I guess it's on a cynical view that the U.S. government, unlike corporations, doesn't require people of experience in government to operate. And so they're going to essentially turn the clock way back to the late 1800s and try and eliminate civil service as the operative theory for how our government operates.
You know, Sandy, the one thing that I wanted to say to you, it's one of the reasons why, you know, you're a bright guy. Why did you never want to get involved in politics? Not many of the brightest amongst us have chosen not to get involved in it. Why?
Yeah, I had a chance as a young man.
I'm sure you did.
After I was legal counsel to the governor and had a moment of time where I could have run for what was then the 9th Congressional District Democratic nomination. I had the opportunity to take it, and I woke up one morning and thought, you know, maybe the last thing I thought that I spent 2 days thinking this is going to be fun and exciting to run for office, and maybe I'll. And then I woke up one morning and thought, oh my God, maybe I'll win, and then I'll be a congressman, and then I sort of parlayed in my mind what life as a congressman would be like, congressperson would be like, and opted out quite quickly. So you know, I think politics, the reward of politics is different. It's a different kind of reward than you get in regular life. It's maybe worrisome why many people do run for office, but we aren't getting the right people to run anymore.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. Don't touch that dial.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is approving $1 billion for all kinds of projects across Wisconsin, including refurbishing local wastewater and stormwater infrastructure. Evers says the spending will modernize Wisconsin's infrastructure and state agency operations. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Anclam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Fraser Shipyards in Superior is seeking millions of dollars of funding for an expansion. According to a Northern News Now report, Fraser is hoping for $40 million from the United States bond market through the Public Finance Authority. If they receive the funding, they plan to double their current workforce from 200 to 400 full-time employees. The expansion plan was recently approved by the Superior City Council, and Chamber of Commerce officials believe the added jobs could have a ripple effect through the community. A Barron County jury rejected an argument of insanity from a man who entered a guilty plea to child exploitation this week. Derek Salewski of Barron pleaded guilty to child sexual exploitation, but also pleaded innocent by insanity. The jury decided that Salewski did not have a mental disease or defect at the time of the crime after a two-day trial. Salewski faces up to 40 years in prison after being charged with downloading child pornography last year. He's scheduled to be sentenced on March 5th, 2024. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers' A.J. Dillon is injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' popular running back, A.J. Dillon, is dealing with a broken thumb. It happened on one of the final plays against the Giants on Monday. That means that Patrick Taylor will get more snaps at running back, but he's made some mistakes getting out of bounds to save time on the clock.
As a running back, your coach preaches, like, you know, fighting for extra yards and things like that. It's extremely hard not to stay in bounds and start to try to fight for extra yards, but in situations such as that one, with it being about like 24 seconds left, got to get out of bounds right there.
The Badgers basketball team won at home against Jacksonville State 75-60. Greg Gard on Jacksonville's head coach, Ray Harper.
You know, Jacksonville, I don't think we give enough credit for how they tried to play us, really jamming things up, gapping up, sending the double team. You know, and Coach Harper's been doing it for a long time. So you could just watch how, watching film, we were going to have to really work.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with off and on light rain here through the day today. We'll get to around 39 for a high with winds southwest switching to the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light rain mixing with some snow after midnight. We could end up with a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all ends tomorrow morning. I do not expect much snow accumulation. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Thank you.
to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Calvin, you're surprising us with your rendition of our Christmas music. But I knew that was Elton John right away. Never heard it, but his voice, right, Sandy?
Yeah. You when you said, yep.
The guy who did Benny and the Jets,
right? He sounded like Benny and the Jets.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to, Sandy, what was it, man? It was something we were going to be talking about. I forgot it that quick.
Ooh, golly.
Did you remember it?
Well, we were talking about, you mean before the break?
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, man. You know, and it was something really, really, Joe Biden and the economy.
Oh, the economy.
Yeah, economy. So, Sandy, it is, the economy is doing really well.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the stock market, okay? It's something that Donald Trump always wanted to point at. Well, there have been two records set by the Dow Jones, one in 2022, and now again yesterday, in which it's the highest it's ever been. So Joe Biden could brag about the same thing, although I think Joe Biden is at least wise enough to understand that the stock market is only of interest to the people who have piles of money. And
right.
Tom, Dick, and Mary are not interested in the stock market. In fact, although they were willing to listen to it because it became, for a while at least, the way everyone was taking the temperature of our economy. The stock market is hot, but inflation's going down quite rapidly. The reason the stock market was so hot yesterday is the Federal Reserve played a card and basically said, hey, we're not raising interest rates today. But furthermore, as we look in the crystal ball, it looks more likely than not that there'll be decreases in the several meetings we have going forward. So interest rates going down is a very positive thing for Wall Street.
Can you explain to us why the oil prices?
Well, production. I mean, U.S. is producing.
Ramped up.
Is ramped up, and demand is down, okay? And that's the thing that people who want to talk about and point their finger at Donald Trump and say, you know, we ought to be drilling. The fact is that the reason production is way up.
We're drilling.
Is that the oil industry has realized that there's a sunset on the demand for oil sometime out in the future. And if you own lots of oil reserves that are in the ground that are currently valuable today, and if you're forecasting that 15 years from now they aren't going to be valuable, what are you going to do? You're going to pump it out of the ground today and get for it what you can, because you don't want to have a bunch of oil reserves you own that is essentially like leaving money on the table, okay? Because when the demand for oil goes down, the price is going to go down, and all those oil reserves that you thought were so valuable end up not being valuable, you know? So you pump oil today, and that's what's happening. So, and Wall Street, the financial markets, want their oil companies to be pumping the reserves and using it. So we're currently the largest oil producer in the world, I believe, at the 11
yeah,
million.
Yeah, we are.
And we're driving the price of oil down, even though the OPEC cartel is trying to keep prices up. And we've got a consolidation of oil companies where you've got people who own oil reserves merging with one another. And the reason they are is because that's what happens in sunsetting industries. You have consolidations, and they're going to be now essentially harvesting their oil.
So the people,
harvesting the oil reserves, because they see in the crystal ball a time in the future when oil prices are going down. And Dave and other people can call in with their theories about what's going to happen to oil. And I don't know what's going to happen to oil, but I can tell you that the consensus view of the financial community and the consensus view of the oil industry is that they are harvesting their reserves today because they don't think tomorrow is a better day to pump.
So the people who are in that business aren't dopes.
No.
These are pretty brilliant people.
Well, they're totally focused on this industry, and they're making a prognosis about what to do. And the fact is that if lots of new drilling opportunities came up, they wouldn't be exercised, and none of the expensive opportunities to drill would be exercised, because Wall Street would say, we don't want you investing in more reserves because we think that the reserves you've got need to be mined.
Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, Earl and Sammy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Is that the Grinch?
I won't get a lot of time, but
well, CJ, you know, your time is predicated, Sandy, CJ, on, you know, if you're saying something different or repeating the same stuff, right?
Well, you guys, you deny issues that have been proven.
Like what, CJ?
Right.
Well, no, look, here's CJ. Let me preempt one thing. Larry Summers, you're indicating, warned at the beginning of the Biden administration that the Infrastructure Act could be inflationary. And that was the Infrastructure Act, incidentally, that he was pointing at, which was bipartisan and then adopted, but then also the Build Back Better. So, you've said that. Not what else?
That caused the inflation that we're now having, but we're safer and more prosperous with a Republican in the Oval Office.
Let me ask about that, because more prosperous. Actually, what is your basis for saying more prosperous? We do have food prices that have gone up and have started coming down. We do have the gasoline price, which has come down, and we have interest rates that are higher, but we don't have a recession. And every economist was predicting that in the next 4 years after the pandemic, that there would be a recession. If we'd had a recession, we would be in far worse shape. Okay. We would be not prosperous, but how are you measuring prosperity today as compared to the period 2016 to 2020, because we have more people employed today than we did during that period. Okay. And so what's your measurement?
Interest rates.
All right. Buying gas, you can point at $1.69, but that was a very brief period during the 2016-2020 period. And at the end of the Trump administration, the price was higher than that. So, and the home thing is, you have to look at space and time. One of the reasons that it's hard to buy a home is that people who own homes today aren't particularly interested in selling them. So there's a shortage of homes to buy. But do you think there were more homes being purchased and sold during the Trump period than there are now?
Sandy, you don't want to hear my answer. You just talk over me.
No, I didn't.
Question for a second. 1 second. Can I answer one sentence? Okay, I'll give you all kinds of evidence, but you want to deflect.
CJ, this isn't an interpersonal. I don't understand this problem. I'm simply asking a question. You can answer it. Go ahead.
Something. You talk over me.
CJ, go ahead.
Please.
CJ, I'm going to, go ahead.
Okay. Can I? Please. The world's on fire. You want to talk about the low gas prices now. Well, home prices and home values have gone down. I can give you ideas. There are a city of Stoughton breaking into our country, the population of Stoughton, every day. This border czar, do nothing Harris.
CJ, thank you very much for the call.
You know, actually, I think just data. Actually, I think the fact is that home prices haven't dropped materially. So that's not the factual outcome. I don't understand the ad hominem problem CJ has with our show and talking about things. But
we're not going to waste time with that. But what I will say to you, Sandy, is clearly whatever you want to call Joe Biden's tenure, he's done some good things. That infrastructure bill, as I was saying the other day, all over the nation, rural areas. I was talking with a woman yesterday in one of the rural area listeners, and she said they're getting internet service in rural parts of the state, which never had it. All of that is part of the infrastructure bill.
Yeah, I think $50 billion was going to be devoted to expanding internet capabilities. And the fact that we haven't had a recession, and I think economists are in wonder, actually, that we've managed so far to have this soft landing phenomena as sort of on a first-time basis, actually. And it's undoubtedly the result of a whole lot of circumstances. And I for one, am not someone who wants to blame or give credit to the White House as much as the general public does. So I would say there are a bunch of circumstances, but I think that the policies that have been implemented have not upset the apple cart and have allowed for this safe landing phenomenon.
You know, it based on election time rolling around next year, the economy appears to be solid. I mean, yes, people aren't benefits and salaries aren't catching up.
Well, no, that's not true, actually. The data for the last quarter was that salaries were going up more than inflation. Okay, so there have been real gains in income over the past recent period. So, no, prosperity is actually getting to Tom, Dick, and Mary, and is beginning to, because of the increase in wages exceeding the inflation rate.
So the signs for next year with the economy appear to be solid, right? I mean,
no, absolutely.
And the projections?
I mean, that's the reason, quite frankly, that the Dow Jones went up so much, is that with the projection of reduced interest rates, that's very good for the financial community. It also benefits, to some extent, the real estate sector, which has been looking endangered based on increased interest rates and their inability to refinance the projects they have, except at much more expensive interest. So, and the job market continues to be strong. You know, we added 199,000 jobs in the last measurement period at a time when most people would have projected jobs to be flat. So everything about the economy right now seems to be solid.
So as we talk about everything in the economy seems to be solid, but at the root of all of it still, Sandy, is people are still struggling in the midst of an burgeoning economy. And I don't know if you can just say, well, that's Joe Biden's fault, or that's, you know, this has been a long-term issue under many presidents that have not been able to, and we're going to talk about this later on in the show, and that's, you know, where the money goes in our the budget of the United States. But Sandy, people haven't been able to keep up financially, even in the midst of, you know, things blowing up and the economy moving really well, and 37,000 Dow Jones, the average person is still having a tough time.
I mean, that's the problem with our economy, is the shift from the jobs that used to exist.
Manufacturing
jobs that existed with benefits, health benefits and pension benefits, and at a time when education, college education or post-high school education was not as expensive as it is today, was a totally different environment for the middle-class family.
It's not coming back.
It's not. Well, it doesn't seem to be coming back, and the architecture of our economy has shifted in that regard, so that we do have median families now that are earning, what, in the United States, $76,000 a year, but there are two breadwinners in that family, not one, and they don't have the same benefit structure, so their capacity to keep up is very, very difficult.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And anyway, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. And hey, Tom, before you go, Sandy and I are going to spend the last hour talking about, you know, the budget, where the money goes, and all those things in the final hour. So go ahead.
Oh, that's awesome. And I would add to that, if we actually had our paychecks each month or every 2 weeks, if it actually showed where each of the things are going, I think that'd be a really great thing and open up the American people's eyes to where the money really goes. But first, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I think what we have to do is we have to look at the president of the United States. Joe Biden, in this case, is like a head football coach. And basically, he has been steady at the wheel. He has not caused any drama. In fact, we're all still talking about the previous president because he basically, you know, sets everyone on fire with the gaslighting. But Joe Biden is basically a positive guy. He is a guy that you know, wants what's best for we the people and America. And I think people are starting to see that. And so when Sandy says, you know, as an example, it doesn't affect gas prices or the stock market or whatever it might be. No, but just like other Democratic presidents have done, they have motivated the American people to work together, to be positive, to not want all that drama and all that, you know, reality TV crap, you know, and that's it. And Joe Bidenomics is working. I mean, the prescription drugs are down for seniors, the infrastructure package, the Supreme Court, someone said yesterday about in Eau Claire about the internet. None of this stuff would happen under a Republican administration because the Republicans haven't done anything in the last 40 years since Eisenhower that actually benefits the average working person. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, in conclusion that, you know, we are safer and more prosperous under the Biden-Harris administration. And I think the big difference is that Joe Biden actually delegates the power or the authority to people that are competent. He's not picking some, you know, horse trainer like George War Criminal Bush did, you know, to run FEMA. They actually hire the people that are at the top of their game that are actually going to do what's best for we, the American people.
Okay, Tom, we got you, man. Thank you very much for the call, as always.
Well, I do think Tom is absolutely right that when you elect a president, you're electing a team, you're electing a cabinet, you're electing people. You're electing someone who you hope will make the right decisions to plug in people with capability, right? Capability to govern, capability to run their agencies. And I do think that this administration has done a great job of that. And the last administration, my goodness, there was a parade of secretaries of every agency. Everyone got fired if they simply woke up in the morning and said the wrong thing about Donald Trump. It didn't have anything to do with competence in the running of the government. And the fact is that I am troubled in that the general policy that I'm most fearful about for Trump is that he is basically against competent government. He's for loyal government. He wants loyalists, people who are loyal to the supreme leader, and he is not interested in competent governance. And competent governance is probably why we are where we are today for the last period, because it has been competent. It has been it has not been flamboyant. It has just been nose down, do the work. And so, you know, I think that we are in a good place right now. Much of it is circumstance, but none of those circumstances have been interrupted by or upset by the government's policies. And to the extent that the government policies have done anything, they've benefited the
situation. You know, Sandy, you said we are where we are right now. All of those different things individually that could have derailed this government, and there were many after COVID, got to give credit to the guy who was there, right? I mean, there were so many things.
Well, I think COVID was an extremely emergent situation. It was an emergency, and it was unprecedented. And the administration was able to work its way through the slalom course of difficulties and come out of it where we are today, which is we've had a steady recovery from the situation of the pandemic to the point where we are currently in as strong an economic position as we've ever been in. There are those who would talk about the foreign policy. Donald Trump beats his chest and says, if I was president, Hamas would never have happened. Yeah. There's no explanation, no connecting the dots for how in the world Donald Trump, who was very cozy with Bibi Netanyahu, how that person would have somehow kept this from happening, because Bibi Netanyahu did not keep this from happening, right? And he and Donald Trump seem to be joined at the hip.
Well, you know, Sandy, I would stop the Ukraine-Russia war in 24 hours if I were the president of the United States.
That must involve a white flag.
I mean, just the fact that Joe Biden, say whatever it is you will, and I've said some things about him, he's had to deal with some situations that required a man having some knowledge about government, the inner working. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I would say that he has demonstrated repeatedly his capacity to work Congress, okay? We've had bipartisan things happen under Joe Biden, and some of them involve the avoidance of a shutdown, have involved the passage of some significant legislation, and so he knows how to get things accomplished, and he has gotten them
because he's angered many of his own Democrats with some bipartisan things that he's agreed to.
Well, I think we can rest assured that by the end of next week it will happen again, because
right,
it's pretty clear that there's going to be some agreement on new revised border policies, which are going to facilitate this foreign aid package, which, incidentally, Mitch McConnell and other on the Republican side say they want just as much as Biden, but they simply want to exact a price before they get it.
All right. 844-967-2789. You know, we're going to talk about where the dollars go towards the budget of the United States. On the other side, don't touch that dial. Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram. We'll be right back.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.